Okay, call this meeting to order on January 21st, 2026. Let's stand for the pledge. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any public comments?
Thank you.
How about with Ms. Delgadillo? Call to accept the agenda.
I move we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a call and a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
And minutes of the previous meeting on December 10th. Call for approval of minutes.
I move we approve the minutes for December.
December 10th.
As presented.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Attorney.
I do not have any report at this time unless anyone has any questions for me.
Okay, well, all right, Ms. Melissa, here you go.
Did you have a report, Mr. Chair?
Was I on there?
You're so humble.
All right, hearing none, we'll go to managers. How about that?
That sounds great.
Perfect. We'll start with safety first, so Kyle will kick us off.
Okay, board report for the line operations department. Kickoff with safety. Safety meeting was held December 11th here in the Overton boardroom. The safety committee, three of the members kicked it off with a scenario that was given by Omar, Louise, and Steve. It was a downed wire scenario. So there was no preface given to the employees in the room, but what they did is they stood up in the front and they said, hey, we just got a call that there's down lines, power's on the ground, or power poles on the ground, and they started with the team that most often gets that call and started with Christie's team, the front desk. And they worked through all the different departments, giving their procedures, what they do for those kind of incidents, and it was just a great learning team given by that safety committee for best practices, what we can do better next time, what we've learned from each other, and just setting up that communication. It was a very good event. Following that, ESCI was here as well to give out topics of lockout, tagout, and radio frequencies. And we had good attendance that day. We had 53 employees in attendance. Lines down, the wire down has been a big goal of the safety committee. They worked with Vernon on creating this document, which went out on Facebook and all the different social medias. I don't know if you saw it. Mid-December it went out. The do's and the don'ts, the things to remember, just trying to teach the community of what to do for safe practices if they are involved with crashing a car into a pole or happen to see someone do that. So give everything from the do's and don'ts all the way down to the phone numbers and who to call and what to expect for that. So if you haven't seen it, look for it on our social media, social medias, and learn about it. Pass it around. The outage report for December 5th, we had one unplanned outage, just a simple issue on Saturday, December 27th. It was just some connections inside of a transformer. Otherwise, it was all planned outages for just normal maintenance. For the month of December, it was quite pleasant weather, and the outages reflected that. We were very happy with it. Service installations for the month of December, we had everything in Mesquite area, and most of them, as you see in Dinosaur Sub, 21 of those, which is Pulte, and then Canyon Crest had 7. For the year of 2025, we end up with 445 service installations. You can see across the bottom there the other end-of-year totals. Did very well. Some of the projects the crews have been working on, they assisted the substation crew inside Arrowhead, quite a bit during the month of December. They helped with tearing off the awning portion of that building, as well as moving all that substation equipment that is destined for Painted Hills substation. They were working hand-in-hand with the substations department on that.
Somebody buy that thing? Or?
Yeah. I believe Randall or Kevin's going to speak on that. I'm not going to let... I don't want to steal their thunder. That's exactly right. I'll get beat up afterwards. They also worked on the 69 kV pole change in Maryland Park. If you remember, a few months ago, I spoke on they installed the supports that go down in the ground around that rotten butt of that pole until they could schedule, until the schedule freed up, until they can get in there and change out that pole. They were able to do that last week, mostly. The distribution was energized, the transmission on top was de-energized, and employees from both line teams worked on this together. In Overton area, there was four crossarms on the 69 kV system found up near the reservoir area that just needed to be changed out for maintenance. Cody led those teams and chose to do a couple of them all off hooks, all climbing, and also a couple of those using buckets. So good practice and good training during that great weather we've had that last month. And the last project I was going to speak on is just a good looking picture of a pole change right back here across the tracks behind the office here. They're just doing some upgrades. The customers were doing some upgrades, so we chose to change out the poles that fed towards that facility just with and maintenance in part of that project. So that is my presentation, unless you have any questions.
Actually, I thought the thing about the down line is really interesting because that wouldn't be bad to have a safety committee come in and maybe tell us to.
Teach you guys too?
Neighbors expect us to know something.
Okay.
You know, but that's really a valuable lesson, it seems to me, for the community.
Okay. I'll throw that out to Steve as the chairperson and tell him to get on it. So
they will be thrilled.
They will be thrilled. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be an hour-long presentation.
Of course, yeah.
Go over the elements of it. Seem like absolutely. A good idea for yeah. everybody. For community.
Okay, we'll pass that along.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Next up, we have Randall with Engineering Services.
Okay, this is on the 138 line, and you guys notice they're pulling in conductors right now. Mm-hmm. They're pulled in from 187 back to 159. We have the crossing of I-15 scheduled for February 2nd and 3rd. We are going to have that completed, and then they've already started drilling on the other side of the freeway heading back towards Torta Substation. We're still on schedule to be completed in April of this year.
Will they hold traffic for a minute while you do that?
It'll be stop and go traffic, yes. Not long periods, but very short periods, as fast as guys can run across. Tortoise to Gila, this is we're not quite done, but I just want to give you an update. I said every 6 months we'll be giving updates on the jobs, and this is where we're at right now. We're looking at a projected under budget of about $1.2 million currently. The two things that we still don't have a good number on is the soil reclamation and the tortoise monitoring. We have to have tortoise monitoring out there the whole time, and depending on if they decide to split into multiple crews, each crew has to have a tortoise monitor, and it's very expensive.
Randall, I noticed they weren't pulling in the static.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, they'll come back and do that.
The splice points are different than the
conductors. Okay.
Yeah. They go a lot further.
They will when they do the crossing. They'll pull that all in when they do the crossing all at one time.
No one's going to say how beautiful it looks? None of you?
It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
This is the Tortoise 69 Bay, and it is complete. They're just finishing up rocking right now, and Kevin will talk about they're starting the testing process of that.
Oh, I didn't have that, but you can if you want.
Okay, they're going to start testing and getting that ready to commission here within the next month, and then it should be complete. We have an outage scheduled for next Monday to tie in the 69 Bay. And here's the budget to date. We're looking at an under budget projection of about $955,000. And that's going to be fairly accurate because our testing is under contract and the contractor numbers are already given. They just haven't billed us yet. That's one of the main reasons why the amount's so large. Estimated cost is complete. Tortoise Ring Bus, that is also complete, and they're going to start the testing and commissioning of that also at the same time. And we're looking at almost a $3 million under budget projection for this project. And all we have left is some contractor funds, and we know exactly what those costs are. Long Drive Switchwater is also being completed. We have a few small items, a few small connectors that were under-ordered. The engineer did not put enough on there, and they're back-ordered for 3 weeks. And once we have those, they'll be able to complete everything there. But they are starting to rock and gravel everything now. Raptor substation also complete, and they'll start rocking and getting the roadways put in. And here's the budget for both those. We're looking at a $710,000 under budget projection. And then I wanted to recognize that he didn't show up, but our Overton supervisor, Brett Gale, received an award from the Valley of Fire Project. We were named the best utility partner out there on the project. Now, there's not many utilities in our area.
Wait a second. Because Rich was going to say it. I had to say it before. You can't get all the laughs. But of the three utilities, we were the best.
There's a phone company.
There's a phone company.
And listen, we were the best.
We're the best. Yeah.
That's all that matters. We got the award. Brett did a wonderful job on the project, managing the project. WEC update, we'll be traveling down the second week of February to Benson, Arizona to attend APCO's office, and then Melissa will be attending their board meeting. We'll be getting some training from them and their compliance people down there. And we'll also be setting up for an extension of time. We are not going to be complete by July of this year with all of the standards. In fact, our first two standards will be sent to WEC in the next couple weeks. Two of the hundreds that we need to complete. So we are working diligently on it, and we will get the extension, and we will complete it hopefully within that time frame.
Randall, what did you report to them on the number of man hours that we've submitted so far?
We have over 100 man hours. No.
I thought it was like 800 or 400.
The cost was $60,000. So it was like, 700 or 800 man hours.
It appears as though when we've only done two of the 150 mandates that we've submitted, that we haven't worked hard on this. But in all actuality, if you remember, I think it was last month or the month before, Shane Robison showed how we took a drone and took a picture of every nameplate on every piece of BESS equipment for one of those standards. It's incredibly time-consuming. And so two of the hardest ones are two that we're submitting, but still, it's just an incredible amount of time. There is six of us that are traveling. There's about eight of us that attend those meetings, and we have a meeting every other week for 1 hour. And then they work on the project as well. So it is an incredible amount of time. The WEC staff was very understanding. They want us to give them a scope of work and an implementation plan, and then they will take that to NERC to approve that kind of an extension that we're asking for. And Randall's only asking for a 6-month extension. He still plans to have it done in 2026.
Yes, Randall's hoping to have it done in 2026. Anyway, yes, and the implementation plan has been submitted to APCO for WEC approval. Are there any questions?
On the Long Drive Switchyard, are you guys going to reinstall that fence, or are you going to leave that open? The entry coming in off that?
Well, we were going to talk to the city about that. We want to, but I wanted to talk because that'd be Kevin's against it, but that's a great overflow parking area, too.
We'd have to charge admission to that overflow parking
area. Well, we don't want to charge. Anyway, we're discussing it. Yeah, it's in our budget to put that gate back up, but I've been up there at times with local activities, and there's no parking. I mean, people are parking down on down the road. So anyway, that's something we're discussing.
So if they park on that side, are you going to assume the liability?
What's that? We would have a sign up for their liability if they park in there. But we're supposed to be meeting with Travis and the city to see what their thoughts are. If you guys prefer us to just gate it, that's not a problem. We're going to do that. But we have a meeting scheduled to discuss it.
I'm on the board seat, but after this, we can talk about
okay.
it.
All right. Any other questions?
No city OPD 5 negotiations at the OPD 5 meeting.
We'll have an attorney present.
Okay.
question. May 1st, I'm sure this is at least partly and probably largely due to staff, but we came way under budget on quite a few of those projects, so thank you. I think we planned those maybe during some shortages and stuff, which might have contributed to that, and now that parts are coming there. But like that was, I think, $5 or $6 million under budget. Is that?
No, you cannot spend that money, Bob. We're over on other things.
Are you asking why?
Well, I would like to know why. I'm more probably wondering, is that going to help us out a bunch on our shortage?
It will help us up a little.
Cash.
It will. It frees up a little bit that we had in our spending, but not a whole lot.
As long as you're bringing it up or asking, what was the main reasons why we're... I mean, that's a couple of those were way under.
They are. The ring bus is a project we've never done, so we relied heavily on the engineer's estimate, and they were high. That's all I can say is that they were way high based on project that they've done with other companies. And so
parts
that's,
or labor?
I would say both, parts and materials, both, because that's a lot. And we rely on them because they're doing these projects all the time with different companies. On the line projects and the substation project, we're able to switch out metal poles for ductile poles, which saved us several hundred thousand dollars on the project, which we know that the ductile poles have the same life as a metal pole, but they cost less. And so those are things that the engineer doesn't, when he gives an estimate, he's engineering from all metal structures. So when we take a project like that, we can look at things and say, look, we can do the same thing, switch out this material and save money, and yet still have a good product. So that's on our side to take and do and look at those drawings and see what can we do to help save money on the project, but yet still have a good, reliable system.
And we had other projects that were over, if you remember, is it Dyno to Raptor line? Is that what we call it, or the long drive to Raptor line? That was $800,000 over because we had to drill so many more foundations, and then concrete prices were incredibly high. So Jonathan is monitoring those, and we're going to keep giving you updates on the budget. I'll tell you that not every report is going to come in that we're under budget on all of those jobs. Not because we've... but honestly, this is because our staff has been very conscious of every dollar that we have spent. So that goes back to good management. And I don't mean me, I mean everybody else at this table.
Randall, I really like you showing those slides like that, because you can see how we're doing on every project. And of course, it's good news, and it may be bad sometimes, but at least we, the board, can see how we're doing financially against what we planned. And it was much more understandable, because in the past I heard the numbers, but it's just quickly goes by and you're on. But here, when we can see them and hear them both, it's much more impact, and we can see what kind of job we're doing. So it's a great job on the slides.
Okay.
Nice,
great.
Very usable.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, you get to follow Randall, Hannah. Substations and skating, you've got to have some good news.
Some good news? All right.
So, Arrowhead substation update. The transformer pads are poured, and they're ready for transformers. You see the building, the awning is gone, and the line crew helped our substation guys take that down. Let's see if I've got a picture of it. Yeah, a little closer, different angle. But you can see how nicely those pads turned out for the transformers.
When are those scheduled for delivery, Kevin?
They haven't given us a date yet, but I'm guessing the second week of February for one, and then the end of February for the other.
Oh, okay.
So you can see the difference in a year ago versus today. So a year ago, we still had that second bay and the Mesquite substation second bay in there, and the awning was still there. And then the picture on the right, you can see those two transformer pads and how close that one transformer pad is to the building. But if you look at, I'm going to try to use the pointer, right here, the transmission side of this substation is going to basically go across to here like this will be the transmission side. And then we'll have a building right here. And that those transformers are, they're an LTC transformer with a, what do they call that compartment? Anyway, the conduits will all go underground, and these conduits, the conductors will go underground from here to the building. So there's going to be nothing on this distribution side as far as out in the yard. It'll all be in the building going underground, and then the transmission will be out on the side. So once we're done, this will come out. So that will be a driveway basically all the way around. We need that extra room in there to, if we ever need to move transformers around in there. So that's why we went with it, where it's at. So, I don't know if you have any questions on that before I move on. So the transformers for that substation, this is one of them. Dave Everett went to Pocatello, Idaho on the 10th and did the pre-tanking inspection. And that is the guts of that transformer. Pretty wild looking. Yeah. Anyway, the transformer, the guts go into an oven and they bake them. And I don't know the time length or what temperature, but they bake them for quite a while to get the moisture out. And I don't know if they have a moisture analyzer in there to say, you know, moisture's gone and then they take it out, or if it's a certain time period. But you can see where it goes. It drops into that chamber right there. And there's not a lot holding it there. It's weight, mostly. They don't strap hardly anything down. It goes into those channels. These feet will drop into these channels right here. And that's basically what holds it in there. So there's not a lot touching anywhere in there. And so when they transport these transformers, they have bump monitors in there. So if it bumps a certain, if it's shocked a certain amount, they have to retest it and make sure it's okay, because they don't want it to move. But kind of interesting the way that they do that. And then, so this is it being tanked. And once it's tanked, they will weld up that top, put it, they'll assemble it, and fill it with oil. And then on the 16th, I went to Pocatello to do the factory acceptance testing on that transformer. Dave got the better end of the deal. Factory acceptance testing was the guy going, change the leads for about 6 hours. Anyway, I got to inspect the transformer and watch the guy push the button and tell the guys to change the leads.
He's not bitter.
Next time I'm going for the tanking. But it's a kind of a unique transformer for us. It's got these are the secondary bushings right there. Those are primary bushings. So our power will come here, and there'll be a cover around this. It'll go underground, so there'll be no secondaries coming out of that transformer. It'll go underground. And then off to the side, we've got an LTC. We've used LTCs in the past, but to save space in this substation, because of footprint, we don't have a lot of space, so we went with an LTC on the transformer. And this is the LTC. It's manufactured by Reinhausen, and I don't know, you guys probably, Rich might know Reinhausen, the name. I don't know if you do or not. They're kind of one of the high-end LTCs, but this one, it's a vacuum bottle LTC, and so there's most normally in the LTCs, there's a lot of tapping and moving around on the copper plates that are inside of there, and there's a lot of arcing, so there's a lot of buildup in the oil. These are done in vacuum bottles, so there's hardly any buildup in the oil. The oil stays clean, low maintenance. They're a lot faster, a lot smoother operation, so it's quite a nice. Supposedly a nice LTC. And then the motor on the right-hand side is all there is to move that LTC. Everything is done with this cord right here. Tells it where everything's at inside here. And this cord is a power cord and another cord that lets the controller know what's going on. So it's quite a neat system. Watched them operate it. They operated it there while they were doing testing. I guess that was a highlight. But this is the controller. It uses a CAN bus, which is what they use in modern day cars. And so it's pretty high tech stuff. Anyway, sorry, geeking out on you a little bit, but it was fun to watch it operate. We also had a switchman training, and this was attended by Lincoln County and OPD both. APCO came up from Arizona, and they put on this presentation. It was 2 days, one day for half the crew and one day for the other half the crew. We needed this training to qualify our linemen and substation guys to throw switches on our BES system, because if not, we can't, to be WEC compliant, you have to have certified switchmen. Mm-hmm. So they came up and gave us that training. Even though we throw switches all the time, we still had to have this training. So we ended up at Long Drive. This is Long Drive Switch Yard at the second half of the day. And there were 35 students, 23 from OPD and 12 from LCPD. And this is them talking. It was what they taught us is the proper way to do three-way communications. And also, they familiarized us with their switching procedures, their switching orders. And then also, we called their dispatch and had their dispatch run through switching orders with us. And so it was a neat training for us. It familiarized us with their procedures, their operations, and then we actually got to talk to their dispatch center, which was, their guys are really good, really well-versed in what they do. So it's really a good training. This is an overhead view of Painted Hills Distribution. The one on the left is before we started moving that transformer up, and the one on the right is of yesterday. So you can see the change that's made in there.
When did you start on Painted Hills?
Was it November?
Yes.
I think it was November.
So that much work has been done in 2 months.
And they are going to start doing the underground, I think I said next week on that, so...
Now, Kevin, I see on that new bay, does that transformer have an LTC in it? What's the box on this?
No, it doesn't. That's a...
Fans.
This is cooling fans, and this on is a control cabinet. That's a control cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah, that one does not have an LTC. The other one at Mesquite does have an LTC, but this one does not. And that's one of the two that we do have in service, LTCs we have in service right now. Is that one in Mesquite's up? I guess that's the end of my presentation.
The
Any
building,
questions?
The building sale.
The what? Oh, the building sale.
I asked if anybody about that.
I put that in here, but I forgot to read it. Where was it? Right there. Oh, I didn't put a lot. The existing building schedule will be removed prior to delivery of the second transformer. So about a month and a half from now, that building will be hopefully gone. Can we say the name of the person that bought it?
No.
Yeah, we can't? Why? It was a public bid, public opening.
Then yes.
Yeah. Savannick.
Then they got it for the cost to remove it plus $500, right?
They paid us $500.
They paid us $500 plus they paid for the cost of removal.
They're a contractor, they're going to do it themselves?
I think they'll do it themselves. They are a contractor, though. So, okay. Any questions? You guys didn't see my... I skipped over my nighttime pictures, real quick. Yeah, Steve's going to clear me out. So.
morning go?
It's morning.
That one?
Yeah, it's actually morning pictures of the transformer course. So that was 6 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, that's my presentation.
Thank you. Administrative Services, Scott.
Thank you, Kevin. All right, let's get into it. Cybersecurity report for January of 26. I like doing this January report. Kind of wraps up the year. I usually show a couple of years so we can see the comparison. Further into the slides, I try to do some trend lines and stuff. But for cybersecurity training in the month of December, we had 100% attendance. A lot of our training is focusing on AI. So we've seen that change a lot over the years. On our training. Internal phishing results, we've had a really good last half of the year. Everything is trending down as far as this goes, and that's what we want to see. We had a little mishap there in November, and just like in 24, we had a little mishap in October. So that is looking better than the beginning of the year. We'll see if that trend continues for the rest of the year. So people are not clicking on things they should not be clicking on. So for the month of December, we have 4,286 spam email, and most of those, well, at least that many were blocked at the firewall, so it's doing a good job. This is what our firewall is showing us as far as countries. Canada and Bulgaria come in at 1 and 2.
It's interesting, those seem to change from year to year, month to month, where the attempts are coming from.
Yeah. Server system uptime looks fantastic across the board. That is our server farm, our internally hosted server farm that we have. That's not to say that there's not a computer go down here and there, or data is disrupted here or there, but this is just access to our internal servers. That's been 100% across the board for the last 2 years. Database backup and restoration is at 100%. We are backing up our data, and we are 100% on the restoration. And then I like doing these next few slides. This is the end of the year stuff. This is customer service. So number of incoming phone calls. 2019, we had 30,512. 2025, we had 14,099. I don't know where that's going to stop. I don't know if that's going to trend back up, but it's pretty interesting to see. And then when I show you the walk-through customers or the walk-in customers, it's kind of the exact opposite. So
have a service that for a while we had, like, our phone calls were going through a service and then to us or something. Is that still happening?
We still have that service, yes.
Is it long enough we don't need it?
No, that's our after-hours service.
But but they can call in and go automatically and pay their bill, so they don't have to talk to one of our customer service representatives.
So is that getting cheaper? Is our service per?
It used to be billed off of like the volume. It's not that way anymore.
Not when your volume goes down.
Yeah.
Flat fee time.
So then if we look at these average calls per day, in 2025 we took 54 calls per day, and average calls per hour, that's 7. So it's the same exact thing as last year, 2024. And then let's look at the number of walk-in customers. 2021, that was 14,230. 2025, that's 24,892. Last year was just a little bit higher. And then if we break that down to average walk-ins per day, we're right at 96 for last year and this year, which is 12 walk-ins per hour.
And that's combined in both.
Yeah, that's a combined graph there.
So is that, can you go back to the last slide? So is our walk-ins, looks like they're climbing a lot faster than our number of customers. Is that true? Is there a reason for that?
They come in multiple times a month.
Not quite.
I don't know. I don't know why we're seeing that steady increase. I mean, it is slowing down in 2025. I mean, 2024 was higher. But I don't know. You look at Mesquite, you look at Overton, it's very, very close to the same.
And it's not just somebody new coming in to sign up for service. That is a lot of what we get. But it also could just be dropping off your payment.
100%. This is bill pay. This is a lot of different things.
Contractors coming in.
Change address.
It's weird because we have more auto pay, more like all these things, but still more walk-ins. Mm-hmm.
More walk-ins and less phone calls.
Well, you could have an increase in customers as well.
Right.
If you guys gain any insight to that, I would be interested. Like, that seems strange. Thank you.
Cool. And that's my presentation.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
Okay, now we have Jonathan with Financial Services.
All right, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a strange position today to be reporting to you. One, I don't have a lot to say, which I'm super excited about. But two, last year when we did our 2025 budget, we budgeted a margin amount of around $5.7 million. And then towards the end, halfway through the year, and then towards the beginning of the last quarter, right before that, we were looking at it was just going to be like a $3.7 million revenue. And then, margin. And then as each month went by, it looked like that would shrink a little, and then it went up. But so I have the news that last year, and we have estimates in here still, this isn't final. We actually have a unbilled revenue adjustment that we need to make. And then there's also some power estimates that we still have in here. But with that being said, for last year, for 2025, we're right at $4.7 million in our margin. So a million more than what we were, kind of budgeting for towards the end of the year, and a million less than what we budgeted for at the beginning of the year. So... So, with that, for the month of November, for December, we had budgeted, it's not reflected on here, but a loss of around $800,000. And with the revenue, as we begin on line one, our revenue was reduced. We reported a revenue of $3.9 million in sales and total revenue. Every month was around, it averaged right around $230,000 less than what we budgeted for, and this month was around $500,000 below. But with our cost of purchase power on line three, we were at $2.8 million. That was actually reduced almost $750,000 of what we budgeted. So we had some favorable hydro, and then we had... and it was reduced sales. We had a mild December compared to what we were basing off of in years past. So
I do notice on line 27, though, we got a significant increase in capital credits. What did Patriot have been?
For $5,300.
$100,000.
Which column are you looking at?
27. This year. Which number? 27, line 27 this year.
Column B.
Shows about, is that 400,000?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yes. So, I don't know if, I can't remember exactly which month that was, but the largest contribution or increase to that was to Western United, where they're a co-op. And we received a large patronage capital then. I think it was in August or September that was quite significant. And that's based off of their revenue and our sales, or our purchases. So we weren't anticipating that to be that high. So that's where the main increase is. So, so for margins, for December, we're at a loss of $451,000, which was about $400,000 less than what we budgeted. So.
So you budgeted for a loss of $900,000 or
$830,000. Yeah.
So we thought we were going to be $2 million less than what we budgeted for our margins, and we're about $1 million less. And if you remember, at the end of Q1 of 2025, we were $1.2 million down from what we anticipated. And we rode that out for the remainder of the year, and we're ending the year with exactly $1 million less than what we thought. Yeah. And when we calculated, I think I reported it to you guys in October, the difference in the sales of what we had sold in 2024 in comparison with 2025 was $1.2 million. And talking about a mild December, my children were playing outside on Christmas morning without a coat. So we've had a very, very mild year. Throughout the entire year, it's been much milder weather.
Yeah. And our power costs were reduced for this month, and also, and Kyle, as he reported, that said there weren't a lot of outages or unplanned outages in December. And so our line distribution expense, operation, maintenance, those two items, line 6 and line 7, were quite a bit lower than what they had been in the past. So that's where the other reductions were. So
have we been low enough that we're going out of bandwidth? Or are we staying in bandwidth?
We have not paid any bandwidth charges, not one.
Yeah.
In fact, Tenasca has been even improving on how they're maximizing our hydro. We have what they call Western Replacement Power, or the acronym is WRP or WRF, which is Western Replacement Firming. The WRP you buy by the month, firming you buy from WAPA by the quarter. And we have always, when we had that with Morgan Stanley, we bought by the quarter or we bought an amount for the month. When Tenasca is now scheduling that, they're scheduling megawatt hours hourly on specific times throughout each day. They've optimized that to the absolute best. And when Jonathan says that we had favorable hydro, that is 100% related to Tenasca's scheduling and them maximizing that system. They've done a very, very good job for us.
That's great. When did you guys get to talk about solar too? Are we getting all that we want, or I guess contracted for? And then what are we paying for that? Is it coming in right?
Yep. The per kilowatt hour, what are we paying? Or megawatt hour, $34.70 is what we're.
We're getting all that we asked or contracted for?
As much as what we planned and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their estimates have been very close. We had some negotiations that we have been doing with them for the first few months as they worked through some of the kinks in their system. And so we had some of that shut down, but we are. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So onto the balance sheet, our on the left-hand side, our balance sheet continues to grow. Our net utility plant on line 5 on the asset side of just under $163 million. We have our investments in the associated organizations on line 8, and our line 15 cash, and our investments line 18, inventory line 23, and then our total asset value for OPD is $191,725,000. Then on the liability side, line 36, we own of those assets our total equities of line 43, we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to the details of our slide. We're at $47 million for our long-term debt. We have our accounts payable and total liabilities, and equity $191 million. So one of the things I wanted to bring up also is that the I can bring it up now. We had our auditors from Hafe and Buckner. They came out in December to do their physical inventory count on December 18th. That went well, and then we officially began our financial audit basically as of this week for 2025 with Hafen & Buckner. So that's going on. Also with January, it's not, obviously we're not reflected here, but to let you all aware, our rate increase was implemented effective January 1, and so we have 4 billing cycles. Each month, we've successfully billed out our first 2 billing cycles, so we have the with the new rate, and so we have the two more of the other third cycles going out this Friday. So just to let you all know that that's in place and going well. I don't see any hiccups with that. And then we will go, so next we'll go to our modified debt service coverage, just below 1.74, which was no more estimates. That's through the end of the year, so slightly below where our goal was, but I feel that it was very close and was higher than where we were the majority of the year. So our equity is a percentage of assets, right under 70%, we're at 69%. And then our times interest earned ratio ticked up also at 3.87, so slightly under our goal there, 4.13. So our cash, if you look in the middle there, ending cash and checking accounts, $6.3 million. And then in our investments in Wharton, down there in the bottom middle, $6.3 million in our investments, and then just over $4,000 in our Goldman account. Then where our investments are in our Wharton account by security type and duration there.
Let me ask you about that. And the duration?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you can't get it? It's mature. You have to wait to maturity to get that. When you say, looking at the chart there, it looks like they're further out.
Right. So these, as if you look in the pie chart, they're all majority are CDs, and so they're those are the terms. We can get them out. We just would. I mean, I say we pay a interest penalty, but we just reduce.
Penalty, you don't get as much interest or something.
Right.
We just We reduce the return on that investment that we had anticipated, but we don't lose any. We don't pay any penalty. It doesn't cost us anything to withdraw that sooner.
Yeah, you just don't make,
make it,
it,
as,
you
don't as, it as much. As much. Make yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we increased by 20 customers in December, so we're at 19,179 customers. So almost over 200, or 200 over 19,000. Mm-hmm. Connection fees, so obviously we had the low amount in November, so we increased back up. So it looks good, 42 connection fees, just under 36,000. Current billing arrangements, and historically, this is what we've done in December. There's always a large increase. So we have 57 customers, total of 8,762. Those are residential customers in current billing arrangements, and then one commercial customer at $105. And around our program, these are the balances.
Quick question. On those billing arrangements, is it just a zero interest grace?
If you call us and tell us that you need an extra week to pay your bill, we charge you nothing to allow that. That's one of the services that we provide to our community. We try to do everything we can to not disconnect you when you can't pay your bill.
When do you start charging them, though?
If they break their arrangement, or if they don't make an arrangement and they don't pay, then there is a reconnect fee that they pay at that time. But as long as they make the arrangement and stick with it, there is no penalty.
But what kind of arrangements do you make? I'm going to pay it, I need a week or...
Extend the time. Christie's the one that handles all those.
Typically about 2 weeks. We give you an extra 2 weeks because then your next bill is getting ready to come out. We don't want you to be too far behind. We have had some special arrangements that we have made with a small group to give them a little bit extra time where they pay in pieces, but they have to keep up on their more current bill.
Yeah, okay.
Around our program, these were the balances as in December for the two high schools, which we're grateful for all the customers that contribute to this. And we actually, the balances are actually zero now because we cut those checks and delivered them at the beginning in January. So going forward, this is what we're going to do, is we're going to do that. We've done it at different times of the year, but we're going to do it in December. Well, we're going to close it out in December and then get it in January. So.
Yeah, I saw those pictures in the paper they gave them to the school.
Yeah. And then I did a little bit of change or updated this a little bit. So this reflects our two most current loans. So last month we reported that we obtained the $2 million loan, and then over Christmas on December 26th we drew another $3 million. And that's that bottom line there at 5.15%, so slightly lower than the prior one. That was a two-year repricing for a 30-year loan with the discounts. The amounts reflected over there on the right, 4.77, so that was right at 38 basis points reduction for the discounts. And then if you look at prior months, those effective interest rates with the discounts, those have been changed a little bit as I went and updated and looked, and the majority of those are a little bit lower than what we were reporting in the past. It's not that the interest has changed or anything, but just what the discounts were reflecting on this column here. There were a few that went up, but the majority of them were decreased a little bit. So with those changes, and then with the two new loans, our average interest rate after discounts is 3.7, and that's actually a weighted average. What we did, or what I reflected there. So the last average was 3.35, I believe, with that one. So
are all of these loans drawn at 30 years?
So no. The I didn't look. I think the last, I don't know how many, were at 25. And yeah, these last two were done at 30. And actually, I'll have to get you the answer on those. I can look and see.
We did a shorter duration on that number third one up, that 7 million.
I think we did 20 and 25, if I remember right. And we locked those interest rates for the life of the loan. These last two that Jonathan did, he put at a two-year repricing. And we're going to talk in a little bit, but Jonathan will be bringing you guys a formal borrowing plan. And so we will not just be doing a two-year repricing on any further. We'll be spacing out those repricings as we go for the terms of the loan to give us a little bit of leeway, because we don't want to reprice everything at the same time. So these two he did that way, and then in the future we will be spacing those out.
Yeah, and the I don't know if you're aware of how the repricing works with CFC. It's what the interest rate's available in 2 years, so hopefully it's less.
Did we have, what were the choices? We probably talked about this, I don't remember, but you did those at 30. Was there, can you do them at 10?
Yeah. 20? Yeah.
And yeah. All future borrowings, we will have a formal plan that we discuss with you guys when we plan on borrowing it. We can't tell you what the interest rate's going to be, but then we will have scenarios of how long of a term we will borrow for and when we will schedule in the repricing for those.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll talk about them.
Yes. In March, he will have that ready.
And we're And yeah, we talked about the $9 million that we were already approved for. This is the first five. We have four more of that, and then for the additional $9 million, we will actually have to apply for that. We're not pre-approved. We don't have any approval, and the way that, and we're going to talk more about that. But the way that, as we've talked with CFC, they don't just want us to approve or to submit for $9 million. They want a plan of, you know, we're 3 to 5 years of what we're going to do. So that's where we're at with those. And here, customer, our revenue by customer class, and the details there. So those on the right-hand column, the bolded, those are actually accurate and current for year-to-date. So that's a really good, those are great indication that we can see by customer class of which each one are doing, each customer class. And then here are the totals down at the bottom. Monthly cost for December, 7.35 cents per kWh. The November was quite a bit higher. Again, December we had the discount, well, not discount, but increased hydro, which was good. And then monthly revenue, 12.4 cents, and then the 2025 average cost of 7.58 cents per kWh. So, and that's my presentation. Unless we have any questions.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Did you adjust when our next, when we're going to borrow again?
So,
I know we're going to talk about the whole plan in March. Do we have to borrow before that? Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will. So we're only, right now, we're only allowed to borrow $4 million. So.
You think we'll borrow that before March?
Yes. Yeah. And if that's something, I don't know if we want to discuss about the term on that. I don't know if we do that right now or.
Well, I think we need to have you analyze what is the best length of time and bring some scenarios of when we're going to sprinkle in repricings for that.
Yeah.
So I would like for us to do repricings every 3 to 4 years so that we have, you know, so that we get to hopefully time some of the market so that, and maybe not on an election year. So those are kind of some of the things that I'm thinking about with those repricings. But some of those loans, I'd also like Jonathan to look at doing a 20-year term instead of a 30-year term for this next $4 million borrowing. So he has a few things to analyze there.
I feel like you guys are pretty experienced with all this, but is there anybody that can give us advice on those times to reprice? You mentioned the...
Yes, sir. We work with both our RVP, the regional vice president, who you guys will meet in March for CFC, and then we have an AVP, who is an incredibly smart young man that works out of their Virginia office, and he helps us work through those scenarios and gives us different options.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. First off, Happy New Year. It's 2026. We made it. 2025 was an interesting year, and we are excited about 2026. I wanted to start by talking about the Reliable Power Act and the Speed Act. Both of these are U.S. House bills that are working at streamlining energy infrastructure permitting and improving grid reliability. Both of those have cleared the House, and they are now moving on to the Senate. Both of those will likely receive opposition from, environmental groups. And so NRECA and APPA have both been writing letters of support to our legislators for both of these acts. And OPD-5 and NREA are following that, and we will be putting support behind both of those as needed as they move into the Senate. So we'll watch and see where that's needed. The Best of Mesquite Chamber Awards were held on January 14th. Overton Power was not a winner, but for the first time in our history, we were nominated for two awards. The first award that we were nominated for was the Customer Service Champion. This award honors chamber members known for consistently exceeding customer expectations, who go the extra mile, deliver with a smile, and has earned a stellar reputation for outstanding service. The way that the Best of Mesquite Awards work is that as an individual, you cannot nominate yourself. You must be nominated by another internal member, but then those nominations are put out and everybody gets to vote, and you can vote for yourself. So, and you have no idea, it's an anonymous nomination. But on our nomination, this was the verbiage that was included. OPD 5 is consistently pleasant, professional, and helpful in every customer interaction. We also were nominated for Service Provider of the Year. This award recognizes service-focused businesses that combine professionalism with great customer care. Examples include businesses in the internet, gas, electricity, water, phone, and security industries. And our nomination said Overton Power is nominated for consistently doing a great job and providing dependable service to the community. So I'm very honored that we were nominated for both of those. If you look back in many, many, many years, I remember, and Christy, correct me, I think we've been nominated once before. So this year, to get two, I think there's a number of things that we can point to. First and foremost, Christy is a wonderful representation of us at those chamber meetings, and we as a management group take turns joining her in having that presence at those meetings and being able to build relationships with all of those commercial customers in the Mesquite area. I think also we've received a lot of talk to Christy and to myself at those meetings about the great communication that we're doing through social media. And so people feel like we are putting good information out there, we're communicating with them well, and I think that that's helping with this too. So I just want to say kudos to all of our staff and their great customer service. It makes me feel good when other people are recognizing it. I started in November with our Fitch rating. They sent in the data request for that. I submitted all of that documentation to them, and then I fielded two interviews with their staff. In early December, they issued their decision to affirm our A Outlook Stable rating. And so we had long discussions about wholesale power market, the cost of power, the philosophy behind our margin change in 2025. As we know, it was significant. So as a rating agency, when they look and see that we're going from a $12.5 million margin to a $5.5 million margin, they want to discuss that with me. We also talked about our continued need, even though our margins are far lower, to add infrastructure while maintaining our current system. I'm going to be honest and say I prayed over this rating. I just thought, Lord, if I get derated on my first year as the general manager, I might just pack the family up and move. So, but they kept our same rating, and I think that that just speaks to our leadership from you guys as a board, that we do have a philosophy with our margins. We did make smart decisions. We do understand that there is a cost, a major increase in power cost, not just for us, but across the market. And we responded to that in a very responsible way. And I think that the Fitch rating people could see that. And so they've affirmed our A outlook, and I'll take it. I have signed two NDAs since our last meeting, one with an engineering firm and a neighboring utility, and I just recently signed one with a competitive transmission company. I am happy to answer questions about either of those in executive session, and Byron could lead us through any of those talks should we need it. And one of those does appear as though we will be having some meetings in executive session, but not tonight, just for me to give you an update, but it's still very preliminary. I reported to you guys last month that our beautiful work order clerk, Mary Ann, has decided to run off and get married and leave us, move to northern Utah. And so we had posted the work order clerk position, and we filled that position internally. Heather from our customer service staff that works on the front counter here in Overton has moved into the finance department. She started that on January 5th. She's doing a wonderful job. And so we have then posted and started interviews this week for a new customer service person. Scott has been leading up all of that interview process, and he's got received some wonderful candidates. So we will hold second interviews for that position next week. I attended the NRECA CEO conference, and then following that, attended the resolution committee meeting that was held in Palm Desert, California. The theme for 2026 was trust. And I thought that was interesting, because as I've thought through, what are we going to do for 2026? And what are my takeaways from 2025? As I've met with my management staff, one of the things that I felt was I need to build some better trust with you as a board, with me as a leader. After going through the budget discussions, some of our job work discussions, I feel like we need to get to a point where you guys trust that I'm doing jobs that need to be done. I'm wanting to spend money that needs to be spent. I'm wanting to borrow money that needs to be borrowed. And so that was already my theme that I was thinking of. And then I got there and that was their theme. So I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Give me all the good things to say so that my board will start trusting me. So we listened to speakers. One of them was Jonathan Martin. He's a political columnist from Politico. He was very entertaining. I really enjoyed him. And one of the things that he said, I like taking little tidbits from people's talks and putting it in my inspiration book. He said, politics is decided by those who show up. And I thought, boy, that is so true. If we want to make a mark in Carson City, we have to go to Carson City. If we want to make a mark as an industry in Washington, D.C., we have to go to Washington, D.C. And so he really talked a lot about that, and that rang very true to me. And so I came home and said to Vernon, get ready, because you're going to start traveling to Carson City. And we've got a lot of people who are running for re-election this year or coming for their first time to be elected, and we've got to start building those relationships now. So 2026 is going to be busy with that. I also listened to a talk on the language of leadership, and then I took a number of classes. One was developing an actionable strategic plan. And one of the things that I took from that was, he said, leadership drives the vision and strategy building, alignment, and commitment. And managers provide the structure and discipline to execute and measure. And I thought, we're kicking off our strategic plan, and that is exactly what I hope. I hope that you guys have set the strategy for me. I will set the vision, and then I will expect all of these guys to set those road markers so that their staff meets those and then measures and ensures that it's getting done. So that was great. I also took a class that was on building trust through modern communication. And there is a CEO from Cherryland Co-op. She has an internal podcast that she does for just her employees. She has an external podcast. She has a video series that she does. She writes a monthly column that she sends out to all of her customers, and she sends a weekly email to all of her employees. So she talked through the use of podcasts, videos, email, print mail, newsletters, all of those things. And I thought, well, I thought we were doing really good, Vernon, but we could do just a little bit better. Now, I don't know that I'm going to do a podcast and a video and a this and that, but I think that one of the things that she talked about is young people don't read quarterly newsletters. That's not what they listen to. They listen to a podcast. They want a 15-second soundbite video. And some of that is not just so that they know what's going on with the power company, but it's also recruiting. And so I thought there's I got some good inspiration from her. I don't anticipate ever having the level of communication that she does, but I think that there are some things that we will work on and try to implement. And then, of course, you cannot go to a conference in our industry and not talk about demand for AI. Both, how do you bring AI into your system, and how do you power the need for the nation's AI? So we had a lot of talks about that. The next thing that I attended was the regulatory committee. We had 46 resolutions for our review. This is the resolution book that is given to every lobbyist or employee for NRECA that says, this is what all of the co-ops have voted is the theme or what we want NRECA to do when they're doing their lobbying efforts. So of those 46 resolutions, we split those into three groups, and then we go over those and see if there's any changes that need to be made. Some of the people in those committees, good Lord, I'm just going to be honest and say, they feel like they got to change something just so that they feel like they've changed something. So we change things like from shall to may, or it's a very long and sometimes tedious process that gets very frustrating to me, because I'm like, if it says the same thing, let's just approve as is and get on to the next one. We're spending a lot of time. But there were a few that were very important that I am glad that I was there to discuss. There was one resolution that they wanted to change that was support for the Colorado River Storage Project. They didn't want to change any of the verbiage for Colorado River, but they took the Rio Grande River treaty issues that are happening with Texas and Mexico and tacked it onto that resolution because they couldn't find a better place to put it. And so we did change a little bit of that wording, but then we kicked it to another committee that says in June that needs to be completely reworked. So I was glad that I was there for discussion on that. We also had support for reasonable transition to the electric utility industry. This was a big one that I think we met on three different times. This actually came out of the state of Utah, that the point of their resolution was we should not remove baseload energy and have it not be replaced with something of equal capacity, meaning we should not retire a coal plant and replace it with solar and some batteries. And so that went back and forth. I thought that would be a no-brainer, but it took us a long time, but we did get good verbiage that ended up just staying. And after all of the conversations, when I finally went to the resolution committee, no change was made to that resolution. It was what, but we talked that thing to death. So, and then the final one that I thought was really important that I was there for was the support of the reducing the risk of wildfires. That came from the Nevada Rural Electric. Carolyn Turner was our representative at the time. She was on a committee that put that together. And the only change that ended up happening with that is that there's also a pushing for the limited liability for insurance on wildfires for co-ops. That's important. We see that the IOUs are trying to get legislation pushed for that, but the co-ops need it too. If there were a wildfire that had a $2 billion price tag, the co-op just has to go bankrupt. I mean, there's no recovering from that. And so pushing for NRECA to help with pushing for legislation for that is important. So it was good for me to be there. Those committees meetings get very long and very tedious, but I think that they do good work, and so I appreciate that I get to represent us on that. Okay, that concludes my... Oh, I'm sorry, I have one more. On our Cycle 2 billing for this month, we had a typo on the due date for that specific cycle. That all of the calculations and everything on the bill were done correctly, but there was the due date was typed incorrectly on all of those bills. Every one of those customers have been notified that their bill date has been corrected to disregard what's on the bill, that it's actually not due for an additional week. So there was no issues there. And Jonathan and his team have corrected that process and added another step to ensure that doesn't happen again. But in case any of your constituents come and talk to you about their bill being wrong, their bill was not wrong, just simply the due date was typed wrong. And we're sorry for that.
What was interesting, so I got a phone call about that, but I didn't answer, so it went to my answering, to my message, but it either cut off the beginning or it never said who it was from. So now I know it's from OPD, but during the message that was recorded and actually repeated twice, it never said, this is OPD or it's OPD, your OPD bill. It just said, your bill was in
oh, the, interesting.
Date was correct. And so I had no idea who it was coming from. Even I listened to the replay of it, because it did it twice. No OPD anywhere in there.
Thank you for telling us that. We'll make sure that hopefully next time we don't need it, but we'll check on how that recording went out. Okay, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Let's go then to I, Lisa's roadmap to success for 26.
Okay, today I want to share with you our roadmap to success. This reflects where we're starting and the priorities that are going to guide our decisions for 2026. And every milestone on this road moves us closer to being a more efficient and resilient OPD5. So these are my five keys to success that I want our staff. We will be discussing this tomorrow in a company-wide meeting. These are my five keys to success. First and foremost, safety first, always, above everything. Above efficiency, above reporting, above cost. Safety will always be our first decision in everything that we do. We will make only data-driven decisions. We will have accountability and we will work in collaboration and we will act in service to the communities that we serve.
Data-driven decision-making, right? There's a couple of decisions that I think you made that we really liked that had to do with personnel. That's not always the data. Sometimes that's a human kind of decision.
Oh, I had a lot of data, Mr. Young. I had a... stop me if I can't say anything, but that was a data-driven decision. I agree with you.
I thought it was thinking about people.
Yeah.
But it was not thinking about people.
Well, it was thinking about people, but I had documentation in place to ensure that I didn't just feel that way personally, that there were decisions that followed, that led to those decisions. I'll say that. Okay. But we will be making data-driven decisions.
I was going to suggest that maybe it's not appropriate that some decisions have to do with people. And they aren't always data-driven.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so you guys set our strategic plan, and these are the six strategies that you gave to me to work on for 25, 26, and 27. They are built around these six clear priorities. We are strengthening our culture of safety, developing a resilient and future-ready workforce, ensuring reliable infrastructure, maintaining financial stability, building trust within our community, and exploring future power supply opportunities. Together, these priorities position us for long-term reliability, growth, and sustainability. So you set the strategies, and I want to talk tonight about how we are going to implement these six strategies in 2026. So the first one is safety. That is, of course, number one. We will hold company-wide meetings and trainings. I have been in talk with NRECA. They have four different programs that they offer for us, for all co-ops across the nation. Kyle and the safety committee and I will be meeting soon to analyze those four programs to see which one fits with us. We're going to use a five-year program and which program we're going to implement in what year. And so we'll be analyzing that and then we'll be bringing that back to you on which ones we're going to use. We will hold monthly company-wide safety-focused meetings. Each one of those meetings, Kyle reports to you each month on what that topic was. But in addition to the topic that we have set for safety meeting, we're going to do scenario-based training and lesson-learned training. Kyle talked with you about one of the scenario-based trainings that we just did last month with Down Powerline. The other lesson-learned trainings that we're doing is that every employee who is sent to a training is required to come back and do a report on what they learned or where they went. Now, those lesson-learned trainings depend, who they report to depends on what type of training they went to. Some trainings, they just report to their immediate department. Some, they report at safety meeting. Some, they report to the management group. And some of them will even be reporting to you guys as a board. In addition to those monthly company meetings, the Kyle and the safety team have set these specialized in-house trainings as the focus for 2026. Flagger certification, qualified rigor training, EPZ grounding, and accident investigation and response. And then we have our public safety outreach. In 2026, our focus is going to be on a public safety campaign at every elementary school. And then we are going to do a training for first responders. And we have had a request to meet with a couple of our key accounts, such as Lard Loach customers, and we're hoping to combine some of those and do that all at once. If you guys remember in 2025, we focused on our landscape group, and so we'll be rotating through different areas of our community. We will still have lots of public safety campaigns, but these will be in-person trainings that we're focusing on for 26. For a skilled workforce, our people are our greatest strength. In 2026, we're focused on preparing for the future through comprehensive succession planning. Before the end of the year, I will work with Scott, and we will create a comprehensive succession plan for all key positions. We will have development for leadership and management, even down to the supervisor level, creating a leadership and soft skill development training plan. And that will be... we will have different tiers of training depending on the level that you are in your career. And then we will present an organizational chart for futuring hiring needs. I'm hoping to give you guys a 3 to 5 year look at what we're going to need for replacement for retirees and then new positions that we may need. And then as a part of this, all managers will now require accurate and timely measurables from all of their employees. And that's something that we're really going to focus on in 2026. All of these managers already get measurables from their employees, but we're stepping up what we're measuring. And part of the reason for that is if you can measure it, you can improve on it. And so we're going to set what we're going to measure and then set goals based on those measurables.
In the skill development, does that mean that every employee will go to some type of training? I was referring, like the intern, but generally you send people to specialized training. Does that mean all employees or?
Well, if I commit to you today that I'm going to send every employee to training and then somebody don't get sent, then I'm the bad guy because I said I was going to send everybody. I would like for every employee to get training. I cannot say that I am going to send every single employee out to training.
No, not necessarily out. Sometimes it may be in turn, but I should have a training plan for all.
Yes, everybody will receive some kind of training, but I'm not going to send every single employee to a training. Okay.
One thing that I had with a relationship in another company is we had the what happens when I get hit by a truck.
We say what happens if we win the lotto because it's a lot less gruesome, but yes.
So does everybody have that in writing?
We have a succession plan already in place for nearly every single position.
So it's not just for years, but it could be for tomorrow.
Yes, we have a succession plan. Now, does that mean that we have cross-training in place for every one of those positions? No. With all of the retirements that we've had in the last couple years, we need to catch up on that. We have a new position that's just leaving, and I was thinking about all of the places that she has cross-trained, that she is the backup. Her replacement is going to have to learn all of those, and so there's a gap there that Jonathan is then going to have to fill should one of those people win the lotto. So...
Thank you.
These are all of the trainings that we have invested in for 2026. This is a wide swing in the requirements for those trainings. Some of those trainings, employees will receive at their computer on work time, just listening. Like a perfect example would be PERS updates. Our human resources just logs in and listens to those PERS updates. They're free of charge, and she does that on working hours. All the way to the other end, if you look on the left-hand side, we have Hotline School. Our young men that are in the apprentice program get sent to classes. They get sent to testing. Kyle gave you guys a good preview last month of how exactly that works. Those are very costly. So we go all the way from free to very costly. 2 months ago, Scott brought in somebody to give a supervisor training that everybody from supervisor and management attended, and that was in-house. We just brought in that speaker to us. All of these encompass all of those throughout the year. So there's a lot of training that we will be investing in for our employees. The next is financial stability. It is critical to everything we do. We are committed to a disciplined budget analysis. Randall gave you a great review of some of the jobs that he's working on. Every manager will give you biannually a budget update of the projects that they are on, any large projects. And so those you guys will start receiving. And I agree with Mr. Young, that high-level look at what did we think it was going to cost, where are we at, and it doesn't have to just be when it's done. If we're at 50% mark, we'll tell you we're 50% done, and this is what it's looking like. There are going to be times where we have to come in and say, this job costs more than what we thought it was going, and there's going to be some that said, we're lower than we thought it was going to be, but we will keep you guys up to date, and Jonathan will be doing budget analysis and review with you guys more often as part of his financial review as well. We will be monitoring all controllable expenses, and then Jonathan is creating a borrowing plan that his initial rollout will be in March of this year for you guys, but that borrowing plan will, of course, continue on throughout the year. Next is community engagement. This is something that I am passionate about. Building trust and transparency with the communities that we serve is vitally important. So we will do community-facing events designed to strengthen public trust, visibility, and local relationships. We have committed to do the Mesquite Days Parade, Veterans Day Parades, Parade of Lights, Clark County Fair, food drives, and career fairs. We will also have social and local media campaigns, and then we will continue our relationships with the local chamber and other civic organizations.
What do you think about doing I know this is your favorite, just doing a short little video clip from the general manager of OPD, whether it's quarterly, once a year, every 6 months, something like that, just to basically, hey, OPD, this is what we're doing, this is where we're at, these are the new infrastructure plans. Just something to that effect. I think you'd be really good at that.
For who? Like for OPD or for?
Well, and for OPD, but put it up to the community so they understand what OPD is, the projects that are going, and it's just a quick recap. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that whole social media campaign from the general manager. I think might have some good sway.
I feel like I was blessed with a face for radio, but I have some employees that would be really good that I could help. With Vernon, we could come up with some very good dialogue, and they could do the video.
I think you would be great. Just something to think about.
How about that?
Like the mayor, he does his little annual thing. Not that you have to do that much, but I think occasionally it would be good for the general manager.
Well, thank you, Randy. I appreciate that.
Just trying to help you out.
I appreciate it very much. You told me you were going to behave today.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, legislative and regulatory engagement. We will actively participate in state and national legislative conferences to monitor policy developments, advocate for OPD5 interest, and maintain strong relationships with policy makers and regulators. We will also engage in national and regional conferences to align with our peer organizations and ensure OPD5's voice is represented at the industry level. I don't think that I have done, one of the things that I'm going to try to work on being better about is I have not relayed to you guys the value of Nevada Rural Electric and what we get from those meetings, from those relationships, and what Lisa does for us on the legislative side and those relationships. And so I want to share that more on the value that we're getting from that organization and then all of the other peer group that I get from there. So I am going to up that because we do a lot. NREA does a lot within our state, and I want to be better about reporting that to you.
Well, Melissa, I just, at our conference at the Aliante, you know, we had Cortez Masto there, you know, you know, just, we've never had that kind of political influence come to our Nevada conference. I thought it was kind of amazing.
Yes.
So
yes.
Are you saying that she'd been in the video clip? That's what I think everyone was saying.
Okay, infrastructure and reliability. Some of the projects that we are committing to work on is we are going to do analysis of when we need to do our next load flow and transmission studies. Many of those studies that were done, we have now surpassed what they thought the peak was going to be in a couple of years from now. And so we need to relook at those and see what is the cost for those studies and when do we need to start implementing those again. I'd also like for us to work on a facilities master plan. We know that we have a facility here that needs to be updated. We have talked about needing to do a truck barn. We know we need more storage in Mesquite, and I think that we need to make a more definite plan for that and then start planning for the borrowing or financing of those projects. We are going to work on continuing to update and standardize our underground labeling, our WEC compliance. Randall is hopeful that we will be done by 2026 to become in full compliance with them. I'm going to work on negotiating the Parker Davis hydropower contract. They are having a meeting for the allocation of that in February. Randall and I will be at a WEC meeting in Arizona, so Jonathan is attending that meeting to represent us, but we will continue to work with Colorado River on the power contract.
What about our upcoming renewal of our energy contracts? That'll be starting this year sometimes, right?
Yeah, I have a meeting with Tenasca tomorrow, and I'm going to talk with them about that. It's our contract is through 28, and I don't know what their appetite is to do a blend and extend to see if we could lower some of those rates. I want to visit with them about that and see when should we start negotiating.
Okay.
Yes, when should we start negotiating that?
But that's going to be starting this coming year. I mean, I'm beginning to meet with them and stuff, or go out for a contract. We've got to prepare.
We're through 28, though? So we have two more years.
It's January 1 of 28, so we have 26 and 27.
Yeah, we have 2 years.
Yeah.
And usually we started the negotiation about a year and a half ahead of the
expiration
date. So that would be June of this year, really.
Yes.
June of 1,
yeah. I feel like we just negotiated that.
Yeah, and I want to make sure we have, you know, when we go out, we look at multiple vendors.
Okay.
Make sure we look for, you know, Tenasca's been good to us, but I think, you know, we can always look for the best deal out there.
Well, okay. We didn't agree this last time, I think. Morgan
Stanley and Tenasca.
There's one other we're starting with, you know.
But it was based on price.
Price.
Because Morgan Stanley treated us very good, and we're obviously getting good treatment here, so this is going to be price-based primarily. We did extend the Morgan Stanley contract with them originally, too.
Yes.
And so that's kind of a good strategy if they can be competitive in price.
Yes.
Saves a lot of work.
Yes. And then the final thing that we are going to work on for our infrastructure and reliability is the emphasis internally on calendaring Gantt charts and budget analysis. Again, this goes back to us doing those detailed reports to you of where we're at on those projects. The other thing that I am really going to emphasize for 26 on our staff is that we are doing proactive planning. We went through all of our reliability plan for 25 and 26 and said, what are the priorities of those jobs that need to be done? We now have this group is now working on 27 through 30, but I also want calendars of and Gantt charts of what work are we going to get done on what month in 2026? What are we going to plan for? What are we going to do? We had a lot of discussion at the budget talk about what work should be done, what should we hold off on, what should we wait. My staff needs to know what they're going to be doing through the year. So we're going to put all of that onto a calendar, and then we'll say, if we're here, we'll readdress and look at, can we add these jobs back in? What is it that we're going to look at? But and the management group, we met yesterday, and they've already started on all of that calendaring. So we have 60 employees. What does that... We've committed to a lot of work to complete in 2026, and I want to go over that with you. One of the things that came from when we talked about the trust issues that I feel like I need to get with you guys is that you know that we're not just coming up with projects because they're fun or that we want to do them. It's work that we need to get done, but I want you guys to understand what it is that I'm asking those 60 employees to do. So this is our 2026. We're delivering on major infrastructure projects while also strengthening our IT and security posture. This, I want to go through a few of these so that you understand why did we choose to do the jobs that we chose to do. Many of these Randall reported on tonight. The new 69 kV Tortoise substation, that construction, including testing and commissioning, will be completed by the end of Q1. And this project provides the backup for the aging 320 MVA transformers that are currently up at Tortoise. And this helps improve overall reliability of our entire 69 system. The ring bus expansion at Tortoise, including testing and commissioning, will also be completed at the end of Q1. And this expansion was required to feed the new 69 kV bay, but it also adds for future 230 expansion on that system. Long drive switchyard, including testing and commissioning, will be completed by the end of Q1. And this was required to feed Raptor and the Falcon Ridge sub. The line for that connection has already been completed. That provides extra protection for our 138 line serving all the way back to Painted Hills. The Raptor sub, that construction, including testing and commissioning, will be completed by the end of Q1. And that was required to provide power to Crown Court, and that will add approximately 14 megawatts of capacity to that area. Painted Hills Substation Bay 4, that project is completion is scheduled for Q3, and it is currently 60% done. This will add approximately 10 megawatts of capacity to accommodate load growth north of the Mesquite office. And this is additional capacity was identified in the 23-24 ECI study, and they recommended adding a 10 MVA transformer. Arrowhead Sub, or as Kevin likes to call it, Mesquite Sub expansion, that project is scheduled for completion of Q2 of 27, and it is currently 30% complete. This project will add 28 megawatts of capacity to accommodate load growth in the Mesquite area, and the additional capacity is required based on the 23-24 load flow study. It was recommended to replace the two existing 10 MVA transformers with two 20 MVA transformers. We have the Tortoise Substation T5 transformer. That project completion is scheduled for Q4, and that project is currently about halfway done. The project upgrades the transformer from a 75 to 120 MVA transformer, and that was recommended in the 2019 10-year transmission study. That same study also identified the new 30 MVAR capacitor bank that we would need to maintain adequate voltage performance. And then the last from the reliability list is the Falcon Ridge Substation Project, Bay 2. That project is scheduled for completion in Q3 of 2028. And that project is currently 10% complete. And this project will add 20 megawatts of capacity to serve the area surrounding the Mesquite Walmart on both the north and the south sides of the freeway. And that additional capacity is required based on the 23-24 load flow study. We also have, through our IT team, the redesign and segmentation of our network environment, cybersecurity and dark threat mitigation, protection of our critical systems, and then WET compliance and audit readiness. A big portion of that it falls on Stephen's shoulders to do all of the SIP requirements. And then we have internal IT process improvements, regulatory risk reduction, and then Stephen and Merlin are going to upgrade the boardroom cameras. Next, we have the demonstration of the scope of our daily operations. And this is from the construction and undergrounding of lines, purchasing, inventory. But these are things that our employees are committed to do. And I think that a lot of times we report to you where we're at on a specific large project, but we miss reporting to you just exactly what it is that everybody is undertaking. And it's easy to forget how much work is being done. So this year, we are going to work on the Overton substation reconfiguration of the circuits A, B, C, and D. We have overhead to underground at Moen and Moapa Valley Boulevard, Bunkerville, South Main, and Riverside. We have the Painted Hills distribution line to the state line. The underground, we're going to pull wire from Green Valley to Walmart. And then we're going to finish up that Sand Hills Boulevard with the completion of all of the conduit wire and equipment. We started that in 25. We have overhead to underground at Bunkerville, 2nd South and Main. We anticipate creation of 605 work orders and staking sheets, the calculation and creation of 221,500 customer bills for the year, calculation and issuance of 595 purchase orders, 1,930 wires, checks, and ACH payments, and we will account for and issue 641,725 inventory items. We have 93 items in our fleet that we maintain, and Christie's team will handle approximately 14,100 customer calls and 24,900 walk-in customers, unless they decide to do the inverse and they start calling us instead of coming in anymore. So we've committed to doing all of that work. At the end of 2026, how will we measure that it was successful? Did we do this work with a safety-first mindset? Did we make data-driven decisions every day? Did we hold ourselves and others accountable? Did we work in collaboration with each other? And did we act in service to the communities that we serve? If we can say yes to those things, 2026 will be a success. We don't have to complete every single project or work that I said that we committed to, but we have to work on them and we have to do these things. And if we do that, I feel like we will be very successful in 2026. Any questions?
Great plan.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Chair, next
All right.
up.
Thank you. You're right, you did hurl through it.
I told you. I got 19 minutes.
Okay, we're on J, review and possible approval of OPD5 voting delegates for action.
Okay, so every year we set new voting delegates. The background that you guys received for this action item showed you who was already in those roles. You guys now can look at those roles and see if you want to maintain that or if you would like to nominate somebody new. Becky has the form ready to go so that you can say who you would like as the voting delegate and then who you would like to name as the alternate. And Stephen, will you just go through that so that they can see who it is as we discuss that?
Sure.
Because sometimes we forget who has what role.
So first there, Orbin Powers member of National Electric Corporation, NRACA. Currently it's Mike Young is the NRACA voting delegate and Del Russ is the alternate voting delegate. We have CFC.
Let's just let them nominate and do NRECA so that we just go down the list. Otherwise, it gets confusing. So do right now we have Mike Young and Dale Rust. Do we have anybody else that's interested or somebody that wants to keep it?
I will not be attending the meeting.
Okay.
So we need to have a replacement.
Dale will be at the meeting, though. So your alternate will be there.
Okay. Or we could put you as the voting delegate, and if somebody else would like to be the alternate, we can do that.
That would be fine.
Congratulations. Who do we have for an alternate?
Oh, you don't want to keep Mike as the alternate?
Well, he's not going, so.
Well, this is for the whole year, though.
I'll be at the meeting.
It's not just for the annual meeting.
Yeah,
well,
he's
going to
be at the meeting.
The voting delegates stay for the whole year.
Put Rich as the alternate.
Okay. So we have Dale as the voting delegate and Rich as the alternate for this year.
Got it.
Okay, for CFC, that is Cooperative Finance Corporation. We have Mike currently and Randy as the alternate. Mike, do you vote at their annual meeting? Is that when?
Yes.
Or is it at NRECA's annual meeting?
Well, you have the chance to vote if you vote.
Okay.
If they, you know, they call a meeting, But I'm not going to the annual NARC meeting, so probably someone else ought to be voting delegate.
Okay.
How about Randy? He looks like he's, I've trained him well.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm going to be at that first meeting, but possibly the second.
The Region 9? Yeah. So do we have somebody that is going to NRECA that wants to be the alternate and they could just go for the first one? We'll put you as the voting delegate and then have an alternate. Who else is going to NRECA annual meeting? You want to be the alternate?
I'm going.
He's going.
Anybody else going?
I'm going.
Okay. You want to be the alternate?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll put Randy as the voting delegate and Jack as the alternate.
Okay. Yes.
So we should be at the district insurance claims under this federal rural electric insurance exchange.
So this is federated?
Yep, federated. Currently, Richard Jones is the delegate, and Melissa Garcia is alternate.
You good with that?
I vote. We keep on the same.
I've okay. never voted there, but...
Okay.
Just in case. You never know.
I believe that they... It seems like they have a meeting at our regional meeting. But I don't know if they do at the national one, too. But I remember having federated meetings at the... Regional.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we have Nevada Rural Electric. We currently have Jack Nelson as that and Dale as the alternate. You want to stay with NREA?
I surely do, yes.
Perfect. You want to stay as the alternate?
Fine.
Okay.
It's an easy job.
Next up we have SSEA. That's currently Jack with Chad as the alternate. That has probably 3 times a year we have a meeting for SSEA, but most all of those are remote. So you can call in if need be. We and if they do have a meeting that you are required to be in person, it would just be in Las Vegas. You want to stay on SSEA? Somebody else very interested? Jack, it is. Who do we have for an alternate? Chad, it is. Perfect. Okay, Pioneer Utility Resource. They are our. They're our website, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where you voted at a meeting for Pioneer Utility Resource,
never
but...
Never got any notice or anything.
Do you want to stay as the voting delegate then? It sounds like a hard job.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, perfect. Mike Young, who wants to be his alternate?
Can you do it?
Bob, we haven't put you on. Do you want to be the alternate for... Okay, perfect.
Okay, Mike and Bob.
Okay, and then we have one more. Western United. We currently do not have a voting delegate because we have not... been in attendance to their meetings. Their meetings are held in Denver. But we have been working a lot more with Western United, and I did tell them that I would be interested in coming to their meeting that is in Denver. So I would like to be put as the voting delegate for that, and then one of you guys can be the alternate.
Don't
who wants to volunteer?
Now.
Rich.
Oh, Rich. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I believe that's done. So we just need a motion.
The motion's on the last page. There you go.
I make a motion that we accept the voting delegates as just discussed and written down by Becky.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second here.
Second.
All right. Everybody in favor say aye.
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 Becky did a good job writing it down.
That was legal, right? Okay, okay.
Okay, K. Review and possible approval of OPD scholarship policy and creation of committees for 2026.
Mr. Chair, we discuss the scholarship policy every year. And I think we've had very good discussions over the years. But last year, we came to a consensus with the amount of the scholarship, as well as we then came back the next month and change that ever so slightly, that they could then submit a letter of their mentor for their education, and we would then reward their mentor with a small amount. I'm really pleased with the policy. My suggestion is that we currently have it that the policy has to be reviewed and approved every single year. And then we approve the committees of who's going to vote. I just want to throw this out there. I'm open to either way, but I don't know that we need to rehash the policy every single year unless you guys feel that we do.
Yeah. The amount of the housing. At one time, 10 years ago when we were doing this, that was, okay. But it seems to me that's a little small now. Mm-hmm. It's really shrunken in value. And we ought to consider revising the amount periodically to increase that. I mean, $1,000 is hard to go anywhere now in education.
It's still a pretty sizable amount if you go listen to those. Hmm? It's still, it's not the smallest one if you go listen to what they're talking about.
Oh, okay.
There used to be 2,000, and we lowered them to one so we could have more.
Yeah.
So, what I was thinking, I'm in agreement with you. If you'd like to give a little bit more, if you'd like to change the amount this year, and us set that, what my thinking was, and as I discussed it with the management group, is we feel good about the policy that we have, and what we thought was that as we looked at the finances and felt like either we needed to reduce the amount that we gave or increase the amount, we as a management group would then ask to have that put back on the agenda and reviewed. So if this year you'd like to change the amount and us keep that policy the same for a while until we see that it needs to be reviewed, that's perfectly fine with me. Or if you want to keep it, it's up to the will of the board. I just didn't know that if every January we need to review and approve the scholarship policy. I feel like we have a very good policy.
If you're going to raise the amount, I would give it to more. I've been on the board for the last 10 years, or the choosing committee. I wouldn't raise how much they got. I would put two more kids to get it. Because there's a lot of good kids.
So are you making a motion that we change it from 8 to 10? $1,000?
I'm not going to make a motion just yet, but if there's going to be any discussion on it, that's what I would.
Yeah, when you review through the scholarship, people that have applied for them, there's just so many good kids.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So my suggestion was that we keep the policy the same, and instead of reviewing this policy, we add this committee to the prior agenda item where we listed all of the, we would just add that committee to those, and then we would set the committee for the year in January. But we don't have to approve the policy every single year.
Yeah. Boy, that sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah. And but maybe the committee comes back that did it and say, hey, we think we need to increase the number of people or the amount. But, I think the number probably is more important, because usually it's round numbers, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. Yet to increase your comment that there's more kids that need it might be more appropriate, and do it incrementally, make it 18 this year, and then the committee can come back and say, hey, listen, we've got an awful lot of applications, we think we ought to move it up, or it's fine.
Okay.
Well, I know in the past we did 5,000, 10,000. And then mm-hmm. Two thousands for 10,000 per valley.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so then I think 4 or 5 years ago we reduced that.
Yes, to it. We have more people.
Yeah.
Same amount.
No, we dropped it by $2,000 mm-hmm. per valley.
Yeah, because now it's 8,000.
Well, that's right, because we got more apprentice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were looking at the
internship.
The intern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I spent more money.
Yeah. I would have no problem, though, going back to the, adding two more scholarships for Valley. Because, like I say, there are just so many kids that, you're looking at two 4-0 kids, and, I remember I was on, and there were a set of twins. You know, they were both, you know, and I could only give one scholarship. You know, they were both going to dental school. And, yeah. You know, what do you do? You can just do what you can do.
I'll make a motion that we increase the number of scholarships to 10 per valley, leave them at $1,000, and revisit this policy every 5 years.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
Any?
Do we need to add those?
Discussion?
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
So how many, right now, do we have per valley?
Eight. Yeah. And we'll increase it to 10.
You're increasing to 10.
Yeah, so the physical impact will go up $4,000. $16,000
to
$20,000.
Okay.
And then we'll review the
whole policy.
The delegates to pick that.
We'll just choose them.
Yeah.
Does that even need to be voted on?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, because of the way that we have it for this year, we need to do it this year. But then next year, we will not review the policy. When we do voting delegates, we'll set a committee. And, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's my motion.
Okay.
Okay.
But
we need to do the vote.
We need to do the delegates too, just for this time.
Yeah.
So we need 2 for Virgin Valley and 2 for Moapa Valley.
Who wants to do Virgin Valley?
Who was Virgin Valley last time?
Randy and Dale both raised their hand.
Okay.
I think you're back.
And how about for Moapa Valley?
I'm out because I'm on the Moapa Valley Educational Foundation.
So it looks like Chad and Jack?
Yeah, I have a child that will be applying, so I just want to make sure that I'm very open, and so that's my concern.
You would never give it to your child.
I might.
I would second that one. Is it Chaddy?
No.
Oh.
So that's fine. Just being transparent.
You'll have 9 other options.
Okay.
How about that? So we're going to do Chad and Jack from Moapa Valley.
Yeah.
And that was your motion, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're good.
And I think if Chad, you know, if Chad's on that, his son comes in, I would just say, Chad, you just leave the room during that time. Let me choose it.
You just go first.
There's probably a lot of Levitts. Be careful.
Yeah.
All right. Any public comments? Any trustee comments?
Is there a closed door?
No.
I got a chance to go out and watch the guys out on the Mason pulling those lines. I took a friend with me, and boy, that is just amazing work those guys do.
They definitely have it down to a science.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So have we implemented the increase? Was that January 1 increase on the rates?
Yes, sir. Yep. Two cycles have already been billed with that. Yep.
So it's for December's actual for December's usage. So you actually get back billed for energy they used in December.
You don't get, it's not back billed. The rates are effective January 1. So if your bill is calculated anytime after January 1, you're calculated on the new rate.
For the energy you use in December,
for the energy it might have been. Okay, let's look at item N here, approval for next board meeting, February 18th at the Mesquite Boardroom.
I move to accept the next meeting in the Mesquite Boardroom, February 18th.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that.
We have a second. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No executive session? Oh, yes, we have an executive
session. No, we do not, sir.
Well, my goodness. Well, let's go for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Okay. Second. Now we have a second. Everyone's in favor say aye.
Aye.
Fantastic.
Thank you. 4:59. You see that, Jack?